This is Howard Boxer for Now News and Events. On October 17, 2012, Concordia honored the Brix family and Brix Family Foundation at a reception in the university's R. Howard Webster Library. The event celebrated the Brix as innovators and longstanding supporters of Concordia and its students and libraries and the Open Access Initiative.
Good day, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Shepherd, Vice President Côté, Vice President Friedman, Monsieur Birx, esteemed guests, Mesdames et Messieurs, bonjour et merci de votre présence parmi nous aujourd'hui. My name is Marie-Claire Morin, and I am the Vice President of Advancement and Alumni Relations at Concordia, and I am your Master of Ceremonies. I'm delighted to see so many of you who champion Concordia present here today. 2012 is a significant year for us. It marks the 20th anniversary of the Howard Webster Library and the J.W. McConnell Building, home to the Birx Students Service Center. Nous sommes ici pour célébrer l'esprit novateur de la famille Birx et sa fondation, ainsi que le soutien qu'elle accorde depuis de nombreuses années à l'Université Concordia. I want to thank you all for joining us in celebrating the Birx family involvement in advancing Concordia students, libraries, and many other worthy initiatives. We are honored to have Jonathan and Evan Birx with us this afternoon, so I salute them. It is now my pleasure to introduce Concordia President Alan Shepherd, who joined us on August 1st, 2012. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome our new president.
Thank you, Marie-Claire. Bonjour. Welcome. I'd like to give a special welcome to the Birx family and to their friends. I met many of you in the intervening moments here as we were having our reception, and it's a great mark of the esteem of the Birx family that so many of their friends would make their way here this afternoon to help celebrate on this beautiful autumn afternoon. I also wanted to welcome the students who are with us. There are a few students, members of faculty and staff, as well as my colleagues on the administrative team. We're here to celebrate the latest gift from the Birx family to Concordia University, but the truth is there have been many, many gifts over a really substantial period of time. It is probably very few universities that can say they've had the consistent support of a particular family for 80 years. 80 years. It is a really, truly remarkable phenomenon and is deeply and gratefully received by the university. In the latest incarnation, the university's librarian, Gerald Beasley, who's with us this afternoon, and his colleagues have been discussing with the Birx family opportunities for something called open access, which, if you're not inside the baseball park, really means an opportunity for creating new technology platforms for conveying research data, research knowledge, in a way that doesn't cost the end user. So instead of having to pay a subscription to something, having research that's been produced by a research community freely available to the people to whom it might benefit. It's the way of the future, probably, for much university research, not all, but much. And it is a kind of innovation that is very welcome at Concordia, and it is the kind of work that will continue to keep Concordia on, I hate to use the cliche, the cutting edge. It is an innovation, and the Birx family has supported innovation here at Concordia for, as I said, 80 years. It might seem axiomatic that universities are always about innovation, but it's actually not true. We have this paradox at the heart of universities. Part of us wants to innovate and race ahead to new ideas. Part of us wants to teach what's already known to be true, tested, safe. And those two pulleys pull back and forth between racing ahead and conserving and communicating what's already known. For some universities, the pulley that's strongest is the stay where we are. For Concordia, it has always been, I think, more about the innovation, pushing ahead. We are known as a university that is risk-taking. Why is that? I would say part of it has to do with the roots, actually, and this is a bit unusual. We came together in 1974 to form Concordia University. And before that, we had two institutions, each distinguished in its own way. Loyola College, founded by the Jesuit order, And it's almost but not quite historically accurate to say that the Jesuits invented university education itself. They certainly had a place at the table from about the 1550s when the order was established, and they have continued to have a major role in university education around the world. And the second strand of what is now Concordia, our unique DNA, the second strand is Sir George Williams, the Sir George Williams campus. And at least one member of the Brooks family told me that he had courses in the Y when he was here. Right? This is also, in its own unique way, quite a distinctive and distinguished tradition of education for what we used to say here, real education for the real world. I think that tagline still works, actually. And it is, ironically, education for the 21st century, because one of the things that's happening now in university education is the pressure to be relevant, to be innovative, to be at the center of the social and economic program of a society has never been more intense than it is today. There was a time when universities were, in my own case, in cornfields in rural Minnesota. They were behind walls with gates and even doors that closed and night porters. It's not true anymore. The universities are going to do well in the next epoch. Our universities, like Concordia, like Sir George Williams, are going to be embedded in the culture. They're going to be right downtown. They're going to be urban universities, and they're going to be porous borders between what's going on in the university and what's going on outside. And the inside-outside is going to kind of be blurred together. That is Concordia in 2012, and it's Concordia going forward. This is a great time for Concordia. It's a strong university with a great foundation in those two historic traditions. They do make us distinct in Canada, probably in the world, in terms of the particular kind of coming together of those two strands. Universities today, now more than ever, deeply need and appreciate the support of their benefactors and their patrons. And it is, although I've been here only two months, it is a great pleasure to be able to come and help celebrate with the Brooks family and your friends today. Some of the work of 80 years of philanthropy, it is really extraordinary. We are very grateful. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Alan. And now I invite Gerald Beasley, Concordia University librarian, to say a few words. Mr. Beasley arrived at Concordia in 2008 from Columbia University in New York City, where he was director of the Avery Architectural and Fine Arts Library. En outre, de 1999 à 2004, il a occupé plusieurs postes au Centre canadien d'architecture de Montréal, que nous connaissons tous. Please welcome Gerald Beasley.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you, Marie Claire. Thank you, Dr. Shepherd. And this is a very, very special moment for me, and I hope you're all going to join me in enjoying the next couple of hours that we spend together celebrating the gift of the Berks Family Foundation over many, many years to Concordia, and in particular, the latest gift, which Dr. Shepherd was alluding to support Concordia's open access initiatives. So welcome to Webster Library. Some of you work here every day. For some of you, it'll be your first visit. To all of you, I bid you a very warm welcome, and I hope you enjoy this event. I just want to say my actual job is to introduce a five-minute video that will be coming very shortly. One thing I wanted to do before that was just to talk a little bit about how the event came together. We were discussing, Jonathan, Evan, Dominique McGaughey from Advancement, and myself, what kind of event we might do to celebrate this latest gift. And we talked about celebrating the past. And indeed, if you take the opportunity to look at the display cases, you will see what a rich past the relationship between the Berks family and Concordia really is. We have letters to royalty. We have all kinds of things there. I'll let you take the time. And that display case will be up for a few weeks afterwards. The video, by the way, will also be up on our website as a tribute to the Berks Family Foundation very shortly after this event. So celebrating the past was certainly a theme, but actually what we moved towards was about funding the future. Really, it's about celebrating the past, but only in the concept that the Berks family has always and consistently thought about the future when deciding where to put its support. This, to me, is the critical attribute of this family foundation. And I'm very proud that they could select the libraries in particular on this occasion. We've had support before from the Birks. Nearly all those students studying out there know the Birks Family Foundation through their support of electronic journals. That was made in 2000. This is the next step, and as I hope you gathered from Dr. Shepherd's comments, open access is very much about funding a future movement. You will see in the video, I believe, a substantial segment that is taken from a World Bank video issued on the topic of open access. The World Bank, most of us are familiar with, there are many other international organizations also coming on board with the principles of open access. UNESCO, the British government, I could go on, but I'd better not, because I think what you probably want to do is to see the five-minute video. It will be quick. It will be... We're packing so much information in a short amount of time. I'm quite convinced you will all want to go home and check it out on the website afterwards as well. But please, I do want to ask you to take the 5 minutes to study the video and learn a little bit about the Birks family that perhaps you didn't know in terms of their relationship to Concordia. Thank you again for coming.
And now it's my very special honor to invite Evan Birks to address us on behalf of the Birks family and the foundation.
It's a little tough not being first because some of the points that I had have already been mentioned. But anyway, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. On behalf of the Birks Family Foundation, I would like to sincerely thank the Concordia University team here for the honor they are according us this afternoon. The Birks Family Foundation is neither one of Canada's nor Montreal's largest charitable foundations, and technically has only been in business since 1961. However, it and the Birks family do have an association going back well over 100 years with Concordia University and Concordia's predecessor organizations. This association began in the days of my great-grandfather, Henry Birks, who became a very successful jeweler here in Montreal. While I never met him, I do know that Henry Birks was a long-term Sunday school teacher and a strong supporter of religious, educational, and other institutions assisting individuals to develop and maximize their own aptitudes and abilities, just as Concordia does. He also pushed his own three sons to excel at their own callings, which for two of them, William and Henry, meant making the family business grow and become ever more self-sufficient. His third son, Gerald, also initially participated in the family business, but he did not enjoy it, and largely devoted his life, starting at the beginning of the 20th century, to the YMCA worldwide, initially here in Montreal. To this, I might add that his father, business founder Henry Birks, was known to have said something about son Gerald to the effect that every successful family should be able to donate one son to the possible, to the benefit of public good or charity. Besides universities, the Birks Family Foundation, since its inception, has had a strong interest in, among other things, libraries, books, and historical artifacts. This is to ensure that Canadian history is preserved, and also because we view libraries and books as offering what we call leverage, in that they can be used by many people with different interests over an extended time period. Gerald Beasley, Concordia's distinguished university librarian, through his friendship with my cousin Jonathan, learned of these foundation interests early in his tenure here, and he was soon engaged in dialogue, and we were soon engaged in a dialogue with him regarding the specific needs of Concordia libraries. Our challenge to Gerald, as it is to any organization seeking our foundation support, was to meet our trustees' criteria of a project clearly demonstrating a leading-edge concept, a wide demand, entrepreneurship, and increasing value, and relative performance, and the measure of recognition. Gerald was quick to respond to the challenge. Recently, as you may know, you should by now, given what went on earlier, there's been a major effort by some very distinguished universities around the world to make new scientific research papers widely available on the Internet, either free or for nominal fees. This effort, known as the Coalition for Open Access, is being promoted by such universities as Harvard, MIT, Columbia, Duke, and Stanford, as well as Concordia, currently the only Canadian member. The coalition's development is being resisted in some quarters by scientists who would like to get paid for their great thoughts. However, the thought behind open access includes the fact that the majority of research today is paid for by parties other than the researchers, frequently with public taxpayer dollars, and that communications today make it nearly impossible to bottle scientific ideas up. Even the newest ones will likely become quickly obsolete. As you may know, Gerald Beasley has been a leading proponent for the implementation of open access internationally and the leading force at Concordia. His idea of implementing it at Concordia became very exciting to us at the foundation. Besides forging a major breakthrough in a Canadian academia and linking Concordia to the most distinguished educational institutions in the world, this also employs information technologies which are becoming less expensive every day and have a scale which we felt could afford and support within a reasonable lifetime. The fact that both Concordia's administrative and academic communities had budgeted and reserved funds to contribute to the project also gave us great encouragement. The future of either Concordia or the Birx Family Foundation cannot be predicted with any real certainty, but I think we can say that the Birx family members and their descendants will continue to attend and support Concordia, and that the Birx Family Foundation, working with the university, will keep trying to find innovative causes to invest in, which ultimately benefits society as a whole. And finally, we expect that Concordia University, and particularly its libraries, will be on the receiving ends of these investment efforts. Thank you very much.